ARD. Talk mit Thies.
My office is full of just rubbish about myself. Unless when I die, somebody opens a Graham Norton museum. I have no idea why I've got it all, why I think it's important to keep. I should just throw it all away. If someone had come into the classroom and go, you know, point at the gay one, they'd go, that one. I don't know what it's like in rural Germany, but in rural Ireland, they do death so, so well.
Hallo, mein Name ist Christian Thies und ich freue mich natürlich immer, mich mit liebenswerten, warmherzigen, extrem lustigen Menschen zu unterhalten. Und heute habe ich einen. Das ist Graham Norton. Den kennen die meisten von YouTube als Talkmaster von der BBC, der alle Prominenten, alle Hollywood-Stars in seine Sendung bekommt. Die Clips werden millionenfach geteilt, zum Beispiel auf YouTube. Er ist einer der bekanntesten und auch beliebtesten Gesichter und Stimmen in Großbritannien. Ursprünglich war Graham Schauspieler und Comedian und er ist sicherlich einer der witzigsten Menschen überhaupt. Und ich kenne ihn schon ganz lange, habe ihn viele Jahre im Fernsehen mit seiner Talkshow gesehen, immer mal wieder, habe ihn auch viel im Radio gehört, wenn er bei der BBC moderiert hat. Und irgendwann habe ich ihn mal in einem Hollywood-Film gesehen, als er plötzlich neben Michelle Pfeiffer über den Gang lief, dort auf der Leinwand. Was macht der denn da, habe ich mich damals gefragt und war sehr neidisch, weil ich großer Michelle Pfeiffer-Fan war. Auch darauf habe ich ihn natürlich angesprochen, wie es zu diesem Job kam. Irgendwann dieses Jahr flatterte mir ein Roman auf den Schreibtisch, geschrieben von Graham Norton. Und mein erster Gedanke war, okay, ein Schauspieler schreibt wieder mal ein Buch. Es ist zumindest nicht so wahrscheinlich, dass es richtig gut ist. Ein Ort für immer heißt dieses Buch. Und dann stand da noch eine Kriminalkomödie. Da schalte ich normalerweise schon ab. Ja, ist so gar nicht mein Genre. Und dann habe ich aber die ersten Seiten gelesen und dachte nur, oh, das ist aber gut geschrieben, ja. Und wie die Personen da beschrieben werden, ach, das ist ja sehr, sehr schön. Und ich habe das ganze Buch gelesen und ich fand es extrem gut. Und ich entdeckte dann, dass es bereits das vierte Buch ist, das er geschrieben hat und das auch in Deutschland veröffentlicht worden ist. Deswegen also gleich die Anfrage an Graham über den deutschen Verlag, der über den englischen Verlag dann an sein Management gegangen ist. Denn Graham ist wirklich ein absoluter Superstar. Aber mir war klar, mit dem möchte ich unbedingt sprechen. Nicht nur, weil er wahrscheinlich einer der witzigsten Menschen der Welt ist, aber eben auch eine solche Liebenswürdigkeit, eine solche Warmherzigkeit besitzt. Mit solchen Menschen möchte man einfach sprechen. Dann fragte das Management nach anderen Interviews, die ich auf Englisch gemacht hatte. Und glücklicherweise konnten wir ein paar Podcasts rüberschicken mit Alicia Keys oder Kylie Minogue oder The Edge. Und dann kam auch direkt die Zusage, Graham macht es. Dann hat es ein paar Monate gedauert, bis wir dann einen gemeinsamen Termin gefunden haben. Aber wir haben es dann geschafft. Wir haben uns in London getroffen, da haben wir uns dann in das ARD-Studio gesetzt, da gibt es einen wunderbaren Podcast-Raum und in dem haben wir dann unser Gespräch gemacht. Und ich habe im Vorfeld, habe ich mir so gedacht, na, hoffentlich ist er auch wirklich so unkompliziert, wie es aussieht. Ja, manchmal liebt man Menschen und ist so begeistert von denen und wenn man sie dann wirklich trifft, dann ist es dann doch irgendwie so ganz anders, ja. Hoffentlich kommt er nicht mit großem Trara und einem Management und so. Und dann kam aber die Anfrage von seinem Management am Tag davor, ob denn Graham sein Klapprad irgendwo abstellen kann. Und da wusste ich, das wird gut, der Mann kommt mit dem Fahrrad. Ich habe dann vor unserem Studio im Mitford Place in London in der Nähe der U-Bahn-Station Warren Street auf ihn gewartet, unten, denn man findet die Tür nicht auf Anhieb. Und dann kam er, 15 Minuten früher, wie verabredet auch, mit Helm und mit Klapprad. Wir haben dann gleich sehr herzlich miteinander geschnackt, während wir die 3 Etagen hochgegangen sind. Und dann wurde es wirklich ein wunderbares Gespräch über seine irische Heimat, die er mittlerweile so liebt, obwohl er sie früher gehasst hat. Wir haben über den ESC gequatscht, denn er ist ja der Mann in Großbritannien, der den ESC kommentiert und natürlich auch auf der Bühne schon moderiert hat. Zuletzt auch als Co-Moderator dabei gewesen in Liverpool. Und es ging auch um sein Aufwachsen zum Beispiel als schwuler Junge auf dem irischen Land. Ich freue mich, wenn ihr Lust habt, Graham ein bisschen kennenzulernen. Enjoy!
Ein Podcast von SWR 3.
Graham Norton is in the house.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Hello there. Guten Tag.
Guten Tag to you. There, I did know some German, so that's all good.
Yeah, well, you've done the Eurovision Song Contest for British television. You've met German people. You've been to Germany.
Probably for a Eurovision, after Lena won it.
After Lena won it.
Yeah, so I think that was the last time. But I remember years ago, I did a tour of Germany, a theatre in education tour.
What? A theatre in education tour?
Where I went to schools. This was long ago. I went to schools and we only performed to the highest level of students. Their English was amazing. And we did these little excerpts from plays about Irish culture and history. And I was there for months.
Wie lustig ist das denn? So eine kleine Bildungstour. Sie haben irische Literatur vorgestellt und kleine Szenen gespielt aus irgendwelchen Theaterstücken. You really played scenes from plays. And that was only a couple of years ago, erst vor ein paar Jahren.
Well, no, it was a long time.
When you were already world famous?
No. and I'm not. But no, it would have been back in the early 80s. And I learned no German. I remember I learned the word langweilig.
Oh, langweilig.
Yep.
Yeah, which is a sin for broadcasters.
Yep.
To be langweilig.
And ich verstehe nicht. That was it. That's all I learned.
Thank you so much for taking the time, despite... Despite always being on the run. Was ist dein liebster deutscher Beitrag über all diese Jahre? Und er ist ja der große Moderator auch und hat den ESC auch selber moderiert. What has been your favorite German entry to the Eurovision Song Contest?
A Satellite of Love. I mean, that
one. Natürlich Satellite. Ja, okay.
Actually, the staging this year was very good.
Also, die Bühne war dieses Jahr ganz toll. Yeah, yeah. Isaac, always on the run.
Yeah, his staging was very good and a very good voice.
Er hat eine tolle Stimme.
I'm trying to think.
Here is a list.
Oh.
Kann man auf die Liste gucken, dann ist es nicht ganz so fies.
Okay, I'm having a look now.
Ja, und er ist ja eine Legende auch in
so
England.
So many of them, I don't remember.
Yeah. I don't remember them. Ich erinnere mich auch nicht an alle.
Oh, Sisters made me laugh. I remember the Sisters.
Ich weiß schon nicht mehr, wie das ist. I have no memory of Sisters.
Oh, really? They were Sisters.
Oh, now I know. Sie waren wirklich Schwestern.
I felt it was an error for Lena to try and take the crown a second time.
Yeah.
But there you go.
Lena hätte es nicht noch ein zweites Mal versuchen sollen.
Oh, and wasn't Cascada glorious? That was pretty good.
Ah, okay. Oh, so you're very much into the Euro trash.
Well,
kind of
it's on the night you need it. On the night it's necessary.
Für so einen Abend absolut perfekt, da brauchst du eine solche Nummer. So, Graham, er ist auch Autor. Er hat ein neues Buch geschrieben, das heißt Ein Ort für immer, Forever Home. Der allererste Satz, wie wichtig ist der für dich? How important is the very first sentence to you?
For me, but now I won't remember it, of course, but I do often the first... Well, what happens is I have the first sentence in my head for a long time.
Okay, also der erste Satz steht lange fest, den hat er einfach fest im Kopf.
I then write it, and then often it goes.
Okay, am Ende wird er dann ganz oft auch gestrichen wieder.
So this one, let me try and remember it.
The back quay of Ballytor was where things used to be.
Yes.
But you can read to us the German first sentence.
Oh, wow. De hinter Uferstaff, Uferstage, Sage?
I even have to look. die hintere Uferstraße, which means street.
Oh, yes. Yet. Die hintere Uferstraße war früher mal das Herz von Ballytour. Gewissen.
Ja, gewesen.
Gewesen, gewesen. That's the end of that
sentence. We don't understand any of it, Graham.
Nor do I.
Do your homework next time. Nein. Okay, und dieser erste Satz, blieb der? So this first sentence, did it stay?
It did.
Ah, der blieb.
It did. Because I thought it was quite a good way of painting the picture of the sort of town they lived in. There are a lot of kind of rural Irish towns where, you know, I'm sure it's the same in Germany, where lots of the little businesses are gone now.
Ja, klar.
And they're in either on the outskirts of the town or they're in a big city. And there's a kind of a faded, almost kind of a melancholy in a lot of Irish towns.
Ja, also es gibt diese Melancholie in den kleinen irischen Städten dort in der Provinz, weil natürlich irgendwelche Geschäfte mittlerweile dicht gemacht haben, die haben sich nicht mehr halten können. Und genau dieses Bild wollte er auch am Anfang zeichnen, von diesem kleinen irischen Ort, wo das spielt. Es geht um Carol, die sich nochmal spät verliebt hat in Declan. Carol und Declan. Graham kam gerade rein und sagte, okay, ich habe das Buch vor einiger Zeit geschrieben, ich kann mich an keinen Namen mehr erinnern. I can't think of all the names.
Carol, we've Declan, Carol, there's Sally, Declan. I know there's Sally.
There is a Sally. Auf jeden Fall, sie verliebt sich in Declan, zieht auch gleich bei ihm ein. Er ist etwas älter als sie und muss dann aber in ein Pflegeheim, weil er Demenz hat oder etwas Demenzähnliches. Und seine Kinder wollen Carol aus diesem Haus jetzt raustreiben. So the children, Killian. And
Sally and Brian or Martin?
Brian and Martin. So
neither of them are in it.
No, it's Killian and it's Sally. Those are the two children.
Oh, okay.
Killian and Sally.
Okay. Those,
and they want to drive Carol out of the house.
Yes.
Because they're baddies.
Well, it's interesting. I think often what I like about writing novels is you've got time. You know, and I
think in the novel or in real life?
In both, really. But in a novel, you have time. So, yes, when they appear in the novel, they are baddies. You know, you're what you would call a baddie. Yeah.
Also, sind zwei wirklich fiese Kinder. Man hasst sie einfach als Leser, weil sie überhaupt nicht sich um ihren Vater kümmern und weil sie richtig ekelhaft sind und einfach nur auf das Erbe aus sind.
But because novels are
it's
long
like the Eurovision Song Contest, isn't it?
It's that long. We have so much time.
Translating in between. Yeah, but it's only two languages this time.
So I think in a novel you have time. And so people who appear as baddies, you can't just leave them like that for a whole book. So you end up finding out about their sadness or about their problems or what brought them to the place where they feel justified in telling Carol she must leave this house.
Character development.
The very thing. The very thing.
Ja, das ist der Fachbegriff. Nein, also sie sind ja nicht einfach nur schlecht, denn jetzt kann ja erzählt werden, wie sind sie schlecht geworden? Wie entwickeln sie sich überhaupt? Es gibt aber einige, die ist sehr, sehr nett und das ist die Mutter von Carol. Carol zieht ja wieder zu ihren Eltern im Alter von 50 Jahren. Carol is moving back with her parents. And the mom is such a lovely character. It's Moira.
Yes.
She's the big Irish mummy.
Yes.
Is she like all Irish mummies?
I think, well, there is something about women of that generation, Irish women of that generation. I would describe it as they show their love rather than express it. You know, they show their love through doing.
Ah.
So Moira wants to help. And in ways she does, but in ways she doesn't. But she's a very tough woman. And I think she, you know, like a lot of mothers, she knows best. You know, no matter how crazy her ideas are, she knows best.
Moira weiß, wie es funktioniert. Das ist bei vielen Müttern so. Sie wissen, wie es geht. Und sie zeigt ihre Liebe durch Taten. Sie weiß sie nicht unbedingt durch Worte und durch Zärtlichkeiten auszudrücken, aber sie zeigt diese Liebe durch Taten. Auch das ist ein ganz bestimmter Schlag, Mutter. Welche Ähnlichkeiten gibt es zu deiner Mutter? So which similarities are there to your mom, who's still alive, isn't she?
She is, at the time of speaking, she is still alive.
92. 92 is seine eigene Mutter.
Moira isn't my mother.
No, of course she's not.
But there are some passing similarities.
Okay.
Some of the things that Moira does, my mother does those, you know, my mother's version of not speaking in the car is the same as Moira's not speaking in the car. Not speaking is, in fact, a running monologue of everything you pass about, you know, that dog's going to get killed. She's always got washing out. I wouldn't like to live there. She has her speech as you drive.
So it's a big monologue. Driving with your mum used to be a big monologue.
Oh, yes. I don't need to say anything. it's all going on over here.
Es wird viel geschwiegen, aber nur auf der Fahrerseite. Denn wenn Mutter mit dem Auto da ist, dann wird alles kommentiert. Oh Gott, wie sieht's denn da aus? Da ist die Wäsche aber unordentlich aufgehängt. Da möchte ich jetzt aber nicht leben. War das denn auch ein bisschen amüsant? Was that amusing to you?
It's more amusing to use it in a book.
Es bringt mehr Spaß, das Ganze für ein Buch zu verwenden, als im echten Leben zu erleben.
Yes.
And you did. This is about houses. This is about the love for a house. Und ich weiß, dass er auch eine gewisse Obsession mit Immobilien hat. So real estate does play an important part in your very own life. How many houses have you lived in? In wie vielen Häusern hast du in deinem Leben gelebt?
I mean,
guck mich ganz groß an.
I've lived in an extraordinary amount of houses. Growing up, by the time I was 16, I think we'd lived in 13 different houses.
Oh Gott, als 16 war, waren es bereits 13 Häuser.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
How come? Was your dad on the run? Always on the run.
And run. Honestly, I don't... They obviously liked it. And also, I suppose my parents were of that generation in Ireland that they were upwardly mobile. You know, they were bettering themselves.
Ah ja, man hat sich immer wieder gesteigert, yeah. Immer wieder in ein besseres Haus gezogen.
So every house was slightly nicer than the last one. And it's very odd. It was good in a way for me because it meant I had to go to lots of different schools.
Children don't like that. Dieses ganze Umziehen mögen Kinder eigentlich überhaupt nicht. Er behauptet, es war gut für ihn.
I didn't like it.
Okay, er mochte
es. But it was good for me.
Aha, es hat ihn geprägt. Es hat ihn gut geprägt. So why was it good for you?
Well, I think you become hyper-social. You know, because you have to be able to read situations. You have to be able to figure out quickly, that's the bully. They're the nice. I like them. I don't like them. You know, they seem to like me. You're able to read a room, I think.
Okay, ja. Er hat gelernt, Menschen zu lesen. Und zwar relativ schnell. Der Typ, der wird mich mobben. Das sind die Netten, das sind die nicht so schön. Er ist ein großer Socializer geworden dadurch.
Yeah.
Interesting. How much of a freak were you when you were young?
I was.
Do you like thinking of your younger days? Or do you think, oh, no, don't ask me about my younger days?
Listen, I'm here now. So obviously I'm fine with my younger days. I am amazed in a way that I survived them so easily in a way. Oh. You know, I was never bullied. You know, I wasn't beaten up.
Er ist gut durchgekommen. Er ist nie gemobbt worden. Er ist nie verprügelt worden.
And yet I was this very effeminate little boy, you know, if someone had come into the classroom and go, you know, pointed the gay one, they'd go, that one.
Er war sehr feminin und wenn irgendjemand hätte auf den einzigen Schwulen in der Klasse zeigen sollen, sie hätten sofort auf ihn gezeigt.
Yeah. So, but I remember, my parents, they must have been so scared sending their little child, you know, 4 years of age, obviously, you know, not like the other boys, and sending me off to school, they must have think, what's going to come home? just blood on a stick.
Für die Eltern muss das furchtbar gewesen sein, ihn, den 4-, 5-, 6-Jährigen, in die Schule zu schicken und weiß, dass er ein bisschen anders ist als die anderen Kinder in der Straße. Und wie kommt er zurück? Als Fleischklumpen?
Fleischklumpen.
Fleischklumpen.
I like it.
Yeah, Fleischklumpen. It's just another image. It's just a piece of bloody
meat.
Flesh. Yeah, a Fleischklumpen. But you never came home as a Fleischklumpen.
Yeah. What's for dinner? Fleischklumpen. but my mother gave me very good advice. And it's so strange because I was 4 years old. But I remember her advice.
You only start remembering things when you are 4 years old.
Yeah, well...
Are you sure you're not making this up?
No, I do remember it.
Okay, I glaub, sich wirklich zu erinnern.
Before she sent me to school, she said, if people tease you or make fun of you, don't react.
Wenn Leute dich dran haben, wenn sie sich lustig machen über dich, nicht darauf reagieren.
And it was very good advice, because that's what those people want. You know, they want you to cry, they want you to react, they want you to fight them back. Mm-hmm. If you don't do those things, they get bored and they find the other kid who will fight back or cry or whatever.
Es ist wie in den sozialen Netzwerken heute. It's like in social media today. All the haters, don't react to the haters because you would give them what they want.
Yeah. Often, I'm not on Twitter anymore.
No.
But when I was, and someone would send something so horrible, and you just say, why? Who? And I would be curious. I mean, who is this person?
Yeah.
And I would go to their feed, and I would see that all they did was send horrible messages to celebrities.
Okay.
It didn't matter what celebrity. Okay. They just wanted someone to react. And then they'd feel like they were seen.
Yeah.
They would feel like they existed. And it's such a weird way to validate yourself. But there you go.
Es ist auch ihm aufgefallen, die ganzen Hater. Er hat viel abbekommen, auch bei Twitter damals. Und er wollte aber mehr herausfinden über die Menschen, die das geschrieben haben. Und er ist dann auf deren Twitter-Account gegangen und hat gesehen, dass sie eigentlich permanent nur irgendwelche Leute beschimpft haben, und zwar irgendwelche Berühmtheiten, einfach nur, damit sie eine Reaktion bekommen. But then you left Twitter. Why did you leave Twitter? At what point?
I left Twitter at a point when I just realized it was no point to it. It was because I think when Twitter started, it's like building a new estate of houses.
Okay, hier sind wir wieder bei den Immobilien. Es ist, als würde man sich selber ein Grundstück einrichten.
And it looks lovely.
Aha, sieht erstmal total schön aus, außen.
Everyone moves in.
Alle ziehen
it's
ein.
Great. And then no one fixes the road. No one fixes the street light.
Keiner kümmert sich um die Straße, auch nicht, wenn die Straßenlaterne kaputt geht. Keiner repariert irgendwas.
You discover that no police will come there, so people just break into houses. Da, da, da. And, you know, you leave. you move out.
Es wird eingebrochen, die Polizei kommt nicht, merkst du irgendwann, also ziehst du einfach wieder aus.
So I moved out of Twitter. And it's interesting, I thought I would lurk. I thought I would kind of be anonymous, but dip in and see what was going on in Twitter. I haven't been on Twitter once since. I don't miss it at all.
Ja. Also sein Plan war eigentlich, ganz anonym, einfach nur von außen reinzuschauen. Er war kein einziges Mal seitdem wieder bei Twitter. Er braucht es einfach nicht. Wie viele Häuser hast du? How many houses do you have? Obviously, your family has good relationships with houses and with real estate. How many houses have you bought in your life?
Oh, how many? I've bought a lot in my life, but I've sold a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've just got the three. So
one's in London, obviously.
One is in London, one's in Ireland, and then there's this weird one we have in New York for no good reason.
Es gibt diese eine Wohnung. Is it an apartment or is it a house?
It's an apartment, but it's a tiny little house. It's like it's what it is. It's very English. It's a little tiny Mews house. So it's small, like an apartment.
What is a Mews house?
We're in a Mews house. This is a Mews.
Ah, okay.
Where we are now.
Ich habe keine Ahnung.
So they're carriage houses. You know, so behind the big house, there'd be little houses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Und so eins hatte er in New York, aber fährt dort nie hin. You don't have the time to go there.
No. I keep planning. I keep thinking when I'm older. But now I'm older, so I should be there.
Das klingt ja fast ein bisschen, als würde er auch Häuser sammeln. It sounds a bit like collecting houses. Especially men love collecting stuff. What have you, despite your feminine side, obviously, but what have you collected in your life?
My office is full of just rubbish about myself.
Oh, really?
It's as if I think there's, you know, unless when I die somebody opens a Graham Norton museum. I have no idea why I've got it all, why I think it's important to keep. I should just throw it all away.
It's your mom's job.
Yeah.
It's not your job, it's your mom's job. Also Zeug zu sammeln über sich, die ganzen Zeitungsartikel oder Kassetten oder was auch immer. Alles mit ihm sammelt er in seinem ganzen Büro. Man könnte ein Museum draus machen später mal.
Yeah.
Eigentlich ist das Aufgabe von Müttern.
And I think I started collecting it because I was embarrassed by it all. And someone, I think it was an American, said, no, you should be proud of all of this stuff because this is what you've achieved. This is your life. Da, da, da. But that was, you know, 30 years ago. I should stop now. In fact, now I'm much better at throwing things out. But I have kept all that stuff. I must get rid of it. But yeah.
Er hat alles aufgehoben und irgendwann war ihm das auch mal unangenehm und peinlich. Und es war ein Amerikaner, der gesagt hatte, nein, du solltest stolz darauf sein, auf all das, was du erreicht hast. Das war aber vor 30 Jahren. 30 years ago. Also mittlerweile sollte er das ganze Zeug wegschmeißen. Er ist verstopft im Keller. Aber er hat nie was anderes gesammelt. You never collected anything else?
When I was a child, I collected sort of weird little China animals.
Oh, kleine Porzellantierchen hat er als Kind
but they're
gesammelt.
Gone. I'm sure my mother has thrown them away a long time ago. And obviously the house is full of books, but I don't think of that as a collecting.
No, books is out of the contest.
Yeah.
Books, no. Yeah. Everyone has books.
Yeah, well, should.
Should. In diesem Buch, Ein Ort für immer, da erinnert sich Carol auch an ihre Kindheit, und zwar an die wunderbaren Weihnachten. Now, Carol, in this book, thinks of the Christmases of her younger days, when she was a child. And she says, this enthusiasm, the excitement you can feel as a child, it just go away. There is no grown-up person who can come up with this kind of excitement. It's in your book.
I'm nodding.
Er guckt mich so an, als hat er diesen Satz noch nie gehört. Wie waren deine Weihnachten? Christmas is a very special time and we're approaching Christmas, kind of. And Christmases are very special, especially in Ireland, in a small town Ireland. What were your Christmases like? The kind of Christmas you still think of today when you celebrate Christmas.
I did love Christmas. When I was a child, I loved Christmas.
Have you ever met anyone who doesn't like Christmas? Also, mögen nicht alle.
Well, I'm not mad about Christmas now.
Okay, ihm ist es jetzt mittlerweile egal.
What killed Christmas for me was working in restaurants. I worked in restaurants for 8 years.
Okay.
If you love Christmas too much, try working in a restaurant at Christmas.
Okay, also, wenn man Weihnachten etwas zu sehr mag, dem kann geholfen werden. Einfach servieren. In einem Restaurant zur Weihnachtszeit, dann verlierst du jegliche Begeisterung für das Weihnachtsfest.
Yeah, it really takes the shine off. But when I was a kid, I loved everything about it. I loved the twinkly lights. I loved the, you know, things being shiny. I loved, you know, having a real tree in your house. How mad is that? There's a tree in our living room. The restaurant is a long time ago. So I've sort of become more in love with Christmas now. Yeah. So now I do put up decorations and we do have a tree and I like all of that.
Mittlerweile mag er das auch ganz gerne wieder und es gibt auch diesen Weihnachtsbaum, der schon immer das Größte war und der sieht ja auch ein bisschen aus wie der Weihnachtsmann. And you do now look a bit like Father Christmas himself.
Exactly, I'm morphing into it.
So langsam wird er mit seinem weißen Bart, den er hat, wird er zum Weihnachtsmann. Mittlerweile ist er ja, nachdem er viel in der Welt unterwegs war. Now you've been all over the places, you know, leaving your small town Ireland, but at one point coming back. Now you have your beloved house there. Mm-hmm. Er hat in seinem Heimatort, wo er aufgewachsen ist, da hat er noch ein eigenes Haus zusammen mit seinem Ehemann. Wann wurde diese Gegend wieder für dich ganz interessant? When did that affection for your small town province, Irish town, when did that affection rekindle?
This sounds stupid, but it didn't really rekindle until... In fact, it didn't even rekindle.
Oh.
It just kindled. There was no affection for it before.
Okay, das Feuer ging nicht wieder an. Die Leidenschaft kam nicht wieder. Sie entstand überhaupt erst ganz spät, denn am Anfang war sie nämlich gar nicht da.
No, I didn't leave. I ran away. I wanted to get out of Ireland.
Always on the run.
Yes, it's our theme. The kind of falling in love with Ireland happened when my father was ill. Mm-hmm. And I was going back more when he was sick.
Okay, also sein Vater war irgendwann mal schwer krank und er hat ihn dann öfter besucht. In diese Zeit fällt es eigentlich erst.
And then when he died, that was really when I saw the kind of the strength and the beauty of those small Irish communities. Mm-hmm. Because when I was a kid, I... You know, when someone died, the neighbors would come round with Cake or Whiskey or Wine or whatever.
Also erst als sein Vater gestorben ist, hat er gemerkt, was für ein wunderbarer Gemeinschaftssinn dort existiert. Man kümmert sich umeinander, man bringt Kuchen vorbei. Das hat ihn dann auch überrascht und fasziniert, ja.
But as an adult, I realized how wonderful it was to have those people come and they tell you stories about your father and you meet your father in a different way. Because you're meeting this man who was their friend. You're meeting a man who worked with them, who was their neighbor. Whereas his whole life, he was just my dad. That's who he was.
Du lernst deinen Vater noch mal ganz anders kennen. Er ist einfach nicht nur der Vater, sondern du lernst den Nachbarn kennen, du lernst den Arbeitskollegen kennen. Die Nachbarn erzählen dir einfach Geschichten über deinen Vater, der plötzlich noch mal so ganz dreidimensional wird.
So I discovered that the close bonds in a small Irish town. When I was young, I felt they were there to hold you back, to restrict you.
Dass man so einander, sich aneinander klammert, so eng, hat er erst interpretiert als etwas, um dich zurückzuhalten, dass du ja nicht rausgehst in die Welt, dass du einfach eingeschränkt wirst in deinem Bewegungsradius.
But as an adult, I discovered, I mean, really, I was 40, when I just realized that actually a lot of those bonds, they're also there to support you. And that I thought was sort of beautiful. And when friends have died in London, we don't know what to do. We don't have a culture. We don't have traditions. It's just they're dead. And yes, we go to a funeral, but it's not the same. I don't know what it's like in rural Germany, but in rural Ireland, they do death so, so well. I mean, it's a weird thing to be good at, but you know, it's better to be good at something than nothing, but they're very good at death.
Tod machen sie exzellent, da sind sie wirklich gut drin in der Provinz, in Irland, auf dem Lande, dass man sich gleich umeinander kümmert, diese Wärme, die man einander gibt. Er sagt, das hat er als Erwachsener dann erst zu schätzen gewusst, weil es einfach ein so unglaublich schönes Gefühl war. Während in London, wenn da Freunde gestorben sind, da gibt es nichts. Dann weiß man eigentlich gar nicht, was man machen soll. Man fühlt sich hilflos. Es gibt eine Beerdigung, aber das ist ja auch eher formell. Es gibt keinerlei Bande. That's an interesting thought.
Well, it's sort of, like I say, it made me see a beauty in Ireland that I hadn't seen before.
Irland ist überhaupt so ein ganz wunderbares, kurioses Land. Something really special about Ireland, as you know, it's such a small country, but so many poets and musicians and writers, even of world fame, came from this small country. It's still surprising. I mean, is it surprising to you, or do you exactly know where it comes from? Weiß er, warum das so ist?
There's two things, I think, with Ireland. One, we are strangely, for a small country, we're strangely outward-looking. Because, you know, emigration has been huge for so long.
Sie sind ohnehin sehr nach außen gerichtet, weil natürlich Auswanderung immer ein großes Thema war.
So we would see the Irish people in London, we would see the Irish people in America, the Irish people in Australia. So that's, I think, the kind of the way we spread ourselves.
also sie sind einfach überall verteilt.
And then as for the writing and the acting and all of those things, I think it is about a love of story. Irish people really love stories. In England, they tell stories, but they have to know someone in the story. It's almost like the story is gossip. Whereas in Ireland, we don't care. If it's a good story, we don't need to know anyone in that story.
Die Iren lieben ihre Geschichten. Und zwar jede Art von Geschichten. Sie erzählen Geschichten. Es hat einfach eine Tradition. Die Engländer hingegen, die erzählen einfach nur Geschichten, indem sie irgendeine Person in dieser Geschichte kennen. Den Iren ist das einfach völlig egal. Was zählt, ist eine gute Geschichte.
The weird thing about Ireland, I think, is the number of Germans who live in Ireland. There's a lot of Germans.
Also, es gibt viele, viele Deutsche, die in Irland leben. Well, I know one.
There you go.
She lives in Dublin. But just one.
Well, in West Cork, there are quite a few.
Why? Because of the landscape? Weil die Landschaft so schön ist?
I don't know. Oh, someone explain this to me.
Yes.
Apparently, after the war, there was a very famous book published in Germany. And it was a man who wrote a book about Ireland. And everyone loved this book.
Okay, also nach dem Krieg gab es angeblich in der deutschen Literatur ein Buch über Irland. Und alle liebten dieses Buch. Which book might it be?
No idea. He was a famous writer. Famous writer. But he wrote this one book about Ireland. And I remember in the 60s and 70s, so many Irish people and Dutch people. Lots of Irish people, lots of Dutch people came to live in Ireland. I suppose it was a...
You mean lots of Irish people came to live in Ireland?
No. German and Dutch.
German and Dutch.
German and Dutch people came to live in Ireland.
Sorry, I'm listening to you. Sorry, I'm paying so much attention. I'm sorry, really. Please don't be cross with me.
Don't do this. But I think maybe it was just a reaction to, you know, those countries. They liked our way of life, which was very slow. You know, in the 60s and 70s, it was okay. Very, very rural.
Gemütlich. Yeah. Dieses gemütliche Leben in Irland in den 60er, 70ern, das muss offensichtlich eine große Faszination ausgeübt haben auf andere. Do you know any Germans in Ireland? Have you met any?
Yes, there's a Klaus up the hill.
Klaus lebt oben auf dem Hügel.
Yeah. There's a Willem. He lives across the road. Okay. That's two, like in about eight houses. There's two Germans.
Okay, immerhin. Also von acht sind wirklich zwei Deutsche. Die deutschen Namen finde ich eigentlich nicht so schön. I don't really like German names, but you know what? I have a thing with Irish names.
Oh, yes.
Like, my favorite name is Siobhan. S-I-O-B-H-A-N.
Oh, Siobhan.
Oh, it's Siobhan. It's not Siobhan. It's Siobhan.
Siobhan.
I love that name because you have no idea how it is pronounced when you read it as a German.
No, there's a lot of Irish names that I look at them and go, where do you begin? I mean, how do you try and say that?
Es geht ja auch so. Siobhan. Because there used to be a Siobhan in Bananarama.
Yes.
I know that.
Yes, there was Siobhan. So, Siobhan, I think...
Siobhan. Not Siobhan. Siobhan.
Siobhan is, I think, doable. But people, I think, in the kind of 90s and early noughties, it became like a challenge to find the most obscure Irish names. When I do a book signing in Ireland... really?
Also in den 80er, 90er sagt er, das war schon fast ein Wettbewerb. Wer hat den absurdesten Namen, weil man wirklich nicht wissen kann, wie dieser Name ausgesprochen wird. Er hat heute noch das Problem, wenn er Bücher in Irland signieren muss. Another one I can come up with. Saoirse?
Saoirse.
Oh, it's Saoirse.
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan.
S-A-O-I-R-S-E. S-A-O-I-R-S-E.
Yeah.
Saoirse.
I mean,
love it.
Well, it sort of looks like it sounds. You know it's going to be soft. You know there's going to be quite a lot of shh in it. Saoirse. Yeah.
Saoirse. Yeah. I like the names.
She's on my show next week. Yeah.
Oh, nächste Woche bei ihm in der Sendung. Wolltest du immer schon ein Talkmaster werden? Also er hat ja viele Leben. Now, you have so many lives. Comedian, actor, that's how you started. You were trained as an actor in London. Yep. You're still a comedian. You still do stand-up, don't you?
Well, I've just done a little tour, and I'm going to Australia and New Zealand next year. Yeah. So, sort of.
Have you written everything already?
I worked it up here, and I'm taking it there.
Okay, alles klar. Das Ganze ausgearbeitet, er geht auf Riesentour in Australien als Comedian. Er ist natürlich irgendwann einer der bekanntesten Talkmaster weltweit geworden. Did you always have the ambition to host your own talk show? Was that a thing early on?
No. when I was a kid, there was a very famous talk show in Ireland, and it was called The Late Late Show.
Okay.
Oh. And it's still going.
It's still going. As a Late Late Show, wir kennen sowas aus den USA, aber es gab so etwas in Irland schon. We just know the ones from the US, but there was one in Ireland.
Yes, it's still going. Uh-huh. It's the longest running talk show in the world.
And the presenter, any good?
Very good. Very good. Well, it's had various presenters.
Yes.
But the original presenter was a man called Gay Byrne. Mm-hmm. Gay is short for Gabriel.
Yeah.
So he was called Gay Byrne. And when I watched that show as a kid, my dream was to be a guest.
Oh, als Kind wollte er immer Gast sein.
Because I felt like that was... the height of thing.
Höher geht's nicht.
Yeah. But of course, now I realize it's much better to be the host because you're on every week.
yeah, get up.
And also, you can ride the sort of the vagaries of fame. You know, some guests, they're not coming back because it's over. Or, you know, whereas the host, I'm still here.
So. Ja, das ist das Tolle. Im Gegensatz zu einigen seiner prominenten Gäste, die vielleicht manchmal nur einmal kommen und dann ist es vielleicht auch vorbei mit dem Ruhm. Er darf jede Woche ran. Insofern ist das für ihn eigentlich der absolute Traumjob. Und natürlich werden Talkmaster immer gefragt nach ihrem schlimmsten Gast. And of course, every talkshow host is always asked, what has been your worst guest ever? And I know you've had so many. How can you even? But if you had to choose one you definitely don't need back on your show, who would it be?
Well, this question used to be hard to answer.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I'm afraid you're taking it to a dark place. Because
dark places are fine.
Because there are quite a few now that we would never have back.
Okay, es gibt mittlerweile so einige, die sich unbeliebt gemacht haben.
Like Harvey Weinstein has been on our show.
Mm-hmm.
He won't be back.
No.
We've had Diddy on our show. More than once we've had Diddy on our show.
P. Diddy. Diddy. Who's Diddy?
Yeah.
P. Diddy.
Yeah. So he will not be back. You know, there's a level of that now. And it's so strange because because we don't know any of those dark things. When we have them on the show, obviously we don't know. But when you find out and you look back, you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of think, oh, okay. I get it now. Mm-hmm. Now, that weird thing about them, that odd thing, that's what that was. Yeah, so it's terrible, but it means I have an answer to who was the worst guest.
Do people sort of invite themselves sometimes and say, I want to be on your show?
Yes.
Okay, es gibt Leute, die sich selber einladen. I want to be on your show. You need me on your show.
And I'll say yes.
Yeah.
And then it won't happen.
So, who asked, I want to be on your show? Graham, I want to be on your show.
I hear you, and I'm saying yes, of course, you must. A lot of Americans ask, when I'm in America and I meet famous Americans, they talk about being on my show, and I'm thinking, no one in the UK knows who you are. But I just nod. Oh yes, that would be great. Yeah, next time. Yeah, very good.
Es ist immer lustig bei dir. Your show is always about fun, about love, about a great atmosphere, about great storytelling. But has there been an unexpectedly sad moment, which is not very characteristic for this?
No,
it's not the thing you're aiming for. But has there been a moment?
Yes,
like that?
Yes. I think sometimes people think they're going to be okay telling a story. Mm-hmm. You know, like this has happened to me where I've told a story many, many times and then I'm on stage telling it and suddenly it moves you in a way you didn't expect to. And it's often about memories of parents, mm-hmm. people on the couch talking about their mother or their father, or which I'm sure stories they've told so many times, and then somehow something about the audience or their emotion is higher because they're performing on a show. You see them go, and I often get moved when that happens.
Okay, also es passiert wirklich manchmal, dass jemand eine Geschichte erzählt, die er oder sie schon 100-mal erzählt hat, aber der Moment ist ein besonderer, man ist in dem Moment emotionaler, weil es ein Publikum gibt, weil man im Fernsehen ist und sie werden selber von ihrer eigenen Geschichte dann gerührt und bekommen Tränen, was natürlich auch ihn dann wieder anrührt.
Mhm. And it's not what we aim for, you're right.
No,
I remember John Voight, the actor John Voight.
John Voight. Mm-hmm.
He told a story about being a young actor and he moved himself to tears telling the story.
But why? What was it about the story that moved him to tears?
We cut it out.
Okay, es wurde rausgeschnitten, als John Voight über seine eigene Kindheit gesprochen hat. Oder
but if it's genuine, if you feel like, oh, that is a genuine moment.
Yeah.
Then we leave those in.
Ah. Yeah. Oh, you didn't leave it in.
No, we didn't leave it in. No.
But why? Because it didn't seem authentic or why?
It seemed kind of indulgent, mm-hmm. you know, because it wasn't a moving story. it wasn't like we were all thinking, oh, we were all just thinking, okay. But I think he'd moved himself.
Das war dann vielleicht auch so ein kleines bisschen gewollt. Das Lustige ist, now, you were an actor. We don't know you in Germany as an actor. There was a television series, Father Ted. I don't think it was on German television, but I don't know. So I haven't come across it.
Nor me.
But the moment that I remember when talking about you as an actor, I was at the movies and I was watching this film with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Wow.
I Could Never Be Your Woman. And all of a sudden, and I've always been a Michelle Pfeiffer fan, and all of a sudden, I see you on the screen. I didn't know you were an actor at the time. I said, this is Graham Norton, who I knew from talk shows. This is Graham Norton. Why is he acting with Michelle Pfeiffer? How did that come about?
A lot of people ask that question.
Viele wollen wissen, wie das passieren konnte. Der deutsche Film war Hauptsache verliebt. That was the German title. Hauptsache verliebt. Paul Rudd was in it.
Yes.
And Michelle Pfeiffer.
And it was made by a writer-director called Amy Heckerling. Uh-huh. And she wrote and directed Clueless. And I don't know why, something to do with the funding. They made it in the UK, but pretended it was American.
Okay, alles klar. Das hat manchmal natürlich mit der finanziellen Unterstützung zu tun. Wenn du Geld aus dem Fonds haben willst, dann muss es auch in dem Land gedreht werden. Dieser Film wurde in England gedreht, aber man hat so getan, als sei es Amerika.
Interesting. So, actually, if you know UK culture, there's a lot of UK people in it. And I've just remembered a very good piece of trivia.
Oh.
That film is Saoirse Ronan's first film.
No! Yeah. Da haben wir diesen wunderbaren Saoirse, diesen wunderbaren irischen Namen,
yeah,
den wir gerade kurz mal so abgefeiert haben. Und es war ihr allererster Film.
She plays Michelle Pfeiffer's daughter.
Okay.
And when we were filming it, that's when she knew she'd got the part in Atonement. You know, the Ian McEwan book.
Yeah, Atonement. I'm trying to think of the German title so everyone knows.
It's James McAvoy, Saoirse Ronan, World War One. Yeah, it's a very good film. But anyway, Saoirse Ronan, there you go.
And what was your favourite moment with Michelle?
We got to eat a lot of popcorn watching a movie. She was so lovely.
Yes.
She couldn't have been nicer.
She's not the popcorn type.
No, I was eating the popcorn. She's very nice, and it must have been difficult for her working with all these people who aren't really actors. We were just available, but she gave it her best. She gave it her best work.
Sie hatte sich nicht anmerken lassen, wie schwierig das war, mit lauter Menschen zusammenzuarbeiten wie ihm, die keine richtigen Schauspieler sind im Vergleich zu ihr. Aber sie hat da gute Miene zum bösen Spiel gemacht. Das mag ihr fallen. She's not a public relations person. She loves to live in the quiet. She was on your show.
She's been on my show maybe twice,
oh,
I
even
think.
That.
I think maybe twice. And she's lovely. You know, she's a very nice woman. But you're right. I think she prefers her private life to be private. And yeah.
So how private is your private life? Is it private enough?
Yes.
Because everyone knows you. I come here mit dem bike. You came on your bike? Which I like. Did you always take the bike in London?
No. It's just traffic's become so terrible. Yeah. So it's worked, you know. They've got me on a bike. I'm 60 years old. I do not want to be riding a bike, but I ride a bike because it's the only way I know when I'll get somewhere.
Er macht das nicht freiwillig, aber wenn du pünktlich irgendwo sein möchtest, dann bleibt dir in London beim dem Verkehr nichts anderes übrig.
Yeah. So, but yes, I think my life is pretty private. I've lived in the same place in London for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. So if people want to say hello, they've said hello. Mm-hmm. And I go to the same places. I think it's all of those things. Okay. And I don't go to the restaurants where they have the paparazzi outside and all those sorts of things. Yeah. So I don't find it that difficult to be private in London.
Ja, er hat sehr spät natürliche Dinge erst angefangen, wie zum Beispiel schreiben. Now you started things late in your life, like writing novels.
Yes.
You know, this is your fourth novel in Germany. There's a fifth one out in the UK already. It's called Frankie. Mm-hmm. It'll be out probably next year in Germany. And you got married 2 years ago?
Yes.
3 years ago?
I can't remember. I'm 61 now, and I was 58 when I got married.
Okay, and that's so. 2 years. Let's call it 2.5 years.
Let's call it.
Oh, that must have been in summer. Es war garantiert im Sommer, wenn es schön ist bei dir in der Heimat.
Oh, we had a party in the summer, but we got married earlier in the year.
Okay, was there any humor in the wedding vows? A typical Graham Norton humor.
Actually, my husband, Jono, his speech was much funnier than mine.
Oh, what did he say? Is it private?
I can't remember now. And also, if I tell you, it won't be funny. It'll just be like, really, you laughed at that? You must love him.
But there was definitely one moment that he brought up. One moment that he had with you that he brought up in the speech.
Did he?
No, I don't know. But I don't know. I'm not pretending. Yeah,
You were saying it with such certainty. I was like, "Did he? What was that?"
No, but that's what people do, because they bring up beautiful memories, you know, and that one special moment.
Oh, we didn't bring up beautiful memories. No, neither of us did beautiful memories.
Why not?
it was our beautiful memory. Day was our beautiful memory.
Of course. Did you ever want a baby? A child?
No.
Like Elton?
No. I mean, good luck to people who are having children. It never seemed like, I guess, because I'm of a generation where it wasn't an option, you know, so I didn't consider it. So I never saw a baby-shaped hole in my life. And so I still don't see a baby-shaped hole in my life.
I don't think it makes sense having a baby at the age of 58, for example. I think it's way too late. Don't tell Elton.
No, but I think it's up to everybody to make that decision.
Of course,
I think if you feel ready for it at 58, do it.
Did you want to be famous? To me, I think being famous, I don't know, is not very desirable because it can be such a pain in the ass. You do get your restaurant bookings, of course, but did you want to be famous early on?
I don't know what I wanted. Maybe, yes. I wanted some sort of recognition. You know, I wanted to be, I suppose, you know, it's that thing of being seen. You want to be seen.
Man möchte gesehen werden, man möchte Anerkennung, das will eigentlich jeder. Like everyone, basically.
But what was odd was that the thing I hated about Ireland, about living in a small town, was everyone knowing me.
Das ist der Nachteil in so einer kleinen Gemeinde dort in Irland, dass jeder weiß, was du machst. Jeder kennt dich.
So part of the reason to come to London was to find anonymity. That was the goal.
In der großen Stadt, da warst du anonym. Das war eigentlich das Ziel, das war eigentlich das Coolste.
But now I've turned London into a small Irish town. So it's quite perverse.
Mittlerweile ist London in dieser Hinsicht die irische Provinz, was auch ein kleines bisschen pervers ist. Wenn es vor 20 Jahren, vor 30 Jahren, als sein Leben auch noch ein bisschen wilder war, wenn es da schon Social Media gegeben hätte. Now, if there had been social media 20 years ago, 30 years ago, how would that have been for you?
Terrible.
Because your life probably was a little more wild.
Yeah, no, there was that, but also I think before I think coming to things like social media, once you're well known, once you're in the public eye, I think you understand I need to be careful of this.
Mm-hmm. Wenn du erstmal bekannt bist, dann weißt du natürlich, dass du vorsichtig sein musst in dem, was du sagst oder wo du hingehst, was du machst in der Öffentlichkeit.
But if I had believed that it was consequence-free, I think I would have been terrible on social media. I'd have been the guy sending horrible comments to people. It would have been me.
Er wäre damals derjenige gewesen, der diese ganzen Hasskommentare geschrieben hätte. So you live in London, you live in Ireland, you lived in San Francisco for a year. I mean, that was early. That was even before you became an actor, before you were trained as an actor.
It was before I did my tour of Germany, in fact.
Oh, yeah. Bevor er diese kleine Bildungstour durch Deutschland gemacht hat und an Schulen irische Kultur beigebracht hat. San Francisco is a very special place. What do you remember about that very first day? Now, you arriving there, did you know people?
No.
You didn't know anyone. Er kannte niemanden da. No. Die ersten 24 Stunden in San Francisco. So the first 24 hours in San Francisco. What were they like?
They were slightly like a movie because I arrived on the bus. I'd got the bus from New York.
Yeah.
And so I got off the bus and I came out of the bus station and flatbed truck, you know.
So ein kleiner Truck mit so einer Ladefläche, der fuhr die Straße an, als er aus dem Bus ausstieg. Er war ja aus New York mit dem Bus angekommen gerade.
Covered in drag queens drove past. And I was like, wow, everything they said about this city was true. But it turned out it was Gay Pride. I'd arrived on Gay Pride. So within a couple of hours, I was on Market Street watching the gay pride parade, and you know, Grace Jones, she was performing, and you know, I'm a little kid from Ireland. I loved Grace Jones, loved her. So to see her, you know, in the flesh, was amazing. So it was a really magical, special 24 hours. It was extraordinary.
That is a very special welcome. Also hier die ganze Ladung voller Drag Queens hinten drauf, und dann hat er gesehen, es war große Gay Pride Parade, und er, der kleine Junge aus dem kleinen Irland, damit hatte er nicht gerechnet. Das war ein wunderbarer erster Tag. And what were you doing in San Francisco? Why did you go there? To do what?
I ended up there by accident.
Okay, es war reiner Zufall, dass er da war.
I was supposed to be going to Los Angeles to visit...
To become a movie star.
No, no. I mean, you know, I'm sure it was at the back of my mind. But I was going to visit my pen pal. This is how old I am. We had pen pals.
Okay, man hatte damals noch Brieffreunde. Und er wollte einen Brieffreund wollte er dort besuchen.
Called David Villapando.
Oh, that's a name.
I know, it's
I
good.
I like that. It's even good. Better than an Irish name.
Yeah, yeah, David Villapando. Anyway, I never met him.
Oh, man hat sich nie gesehen.
Yeah.
Why? Because?
Because the bus ticket, I had this special bus ticket, and it ran out in San Francisco. So I never got as far as, I talked to him on the phone, but that was it.
Okay, also das Busticket war nur bis San Francisco. Er hat es nie bis nach Los Angeles geschafft und hat ihn nie gesehen. Do you still write, though?
No, and I can't find him.
Have you tried?
Yes, I've really tried. And I've emailed all the David Villapandos I can find, and they never write back. So I think he's gone. I don't think he's in the world anymore.
Graham, schreibt wahrscheinlich wieder, probably writing the sixth novel already?
I haven't started yet, okay. But it's brewing. It's brewing.
The idea is that.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Writing, making up your own world, is an act of creation. Now, what do you feel when you sit down and write? Where do you like writing best? Which place?
I don't mind.
Anywhere.
I have a laptop. I've got time and a laptop. Mm-hmm. I'm okay.
Zeit und Laptop, und er kann überall sein.
Because I'm not a full-time writer.
No.
You know, I think full-time writers can have a process and a routine and, you know, I write for 2 hours before breakfast and then I, you know, all of that. No.
Richtige Schriftsteller haben Abläufe, ganz feste Schemata. Er nicht. 2 Stunden vor dem Frühstück wird zwischendurch mal geschrieben, oder?
This is my hobby.
Yeah, it's
so
a,
it's something I love doing. So I suppose the thing I enjoy most about it is that it's solitary.
Diese Einsamkeit beim Schreiben, das ist das Schöne.
Because everything else I do, you know, whatever else it is, whatever thing I do, it involves meetings or other people or da-da-da. This is just me. I create this world by myself. You know, before I started writing this book, that the back key in Ballytour didn't exist. And within, you know, 6-7 words, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an amazing thing to be able to do.
Wenn du in Irland zum Beispiel schreibst, do you love writing in Ireland?
Yeah, no, I like writing in Ireland.
In Ireland, because...
But also, I guess because I now love Ireland, what's nice, if I'm not writing in Ireland, I'm going back there in my mind. I'm spending time in Ireland in my head.
Irland ist in meinem Kopf, und das ist das Gute. Selbst wenn er in London ist, dann ist er in seinem Kopf einfach und in Irland. Leben auch, außer ein paar Deutsche, auch irgendwelche berühmten Schriftsteller, von denen du die Tipps hättest abholen können. So, when you write in Ireland, are there any other writers nearby who could give you tips?
We don't do tips.
Tips...
There are some
advice.
There are a lot of writers actually in West Cork.
Okay.
David Mitchell.
Mm-hmm, you know, David
wrote,
Mitchell
wrote Cloud Atlas.
Oh, Cloud Atlas. Yeah.
He lives there.
Good.
Hilary Mantel had just bought a house, or was just buying a house there before she died.
Mm-hmm.
There's a poet called Nick Laird. I don't know if you know.
Okay, I don't know him.
Zadie Smith.
Oh, Zadie Smith.
Yeah, they have a place.
Okay.
Just across the hill from us.
Okay. And do you ever meet?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you ever meet up and say, let's have some tea? Let me pitch an idea to you.
No, we don't do the pitching ideas. We don't talk about her books, and they definitely don't talk about my books. So, but we do socialize, yeah.
Graham, thank you for joining us.
Oh, such a pleasure.
Today war sehr schön, dass er dabei war. The very last thing is, what is the last photo? Because we're talking about last things. This hasn't been your last novel. Mm-hmm. We know already.
Yeah.
Which is the last photo that you took with your phone?
It was of some cobwebs in my house.
Why? As I just bin wie bei ihrem Haus musste er fotografieren.
Because what day was yesterday? Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the cleaners were in on Tuesday. So
there were a lot of cobwebs. Eigentlich wurde gerade sauber gemacht im Haus am Tage davor. Merkwürdigerweise gab es ein paar Spinnweben, die musste fotografieren. Und was machst du jetzt mit diesem Foto? Now, what do you do with this photo?
Oh, I just showed it to my husband.
Oh, not to the cleaner.
No.
Er will es einfach nur dem Ehemann zeigen. Yeah. Das reicht. Okay. And what was the last song you were playing on your phone? Look it up if you want.
How do I do that? It was probably Chapel Roan. I think Chapel Roan was the last thing I was doing on Spotify.
Okay. Yeah. So which song is that?
Chapel Roan, she's got a bunch, but it might have been the Hot to Go or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's go with Hot to Go.
Chapel Roan. Graham Norton. Das Buch, das er geschrieben hat, heißt Ein Ort für immer. Ganz neu erschienen in diesem Jahr. Dann danke hier, dass wir hier zusammengekommen sind. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, well, danke to you.
And we're looking forward to the next Eurovision Song Contest.
Oh, so am I.
Yeah.
Yes. It's Switzerland.
It's in Switzerland.
Basel.
Right.
Basel?
Basel.
Is it Basel?
It's Basel.
Basel. Let's say Basel some more.
In English, it's Bale?
Basel.
Oh, you say Basel. Okay, I thought there was a different pronunciation.
Maybe in Switzerland they say something else.
So how was the Eurovision Song Contest, the last one in Germany? Because my best friend, she was one of the presenters.
Oh, wow.
Anke. I don't know if you remember Anke. She was one of the three.
Was I rude about her?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, good.
What are your memories of that Eurovision Song Contest in Düsseldorf? I know they had lots of Lenas on stage right at the beginning of the show. There were like hundreds of Lenas coming on stage. I thought that was a brilliant moment.
I have no recollection of Eurovision in, where was it, Düsseldorf?
Düsseldorf, yeah.
They're all a kind of a blur.
Yeah.
They really are a blur. Usually, and also because I'm with the UK delegation, I don't even know who represented us that year. If I remember to that, I might have a memory of it all. But it's a when I say it's a blur, it's a fabulous blur.
Of course it is. All right. Thanks for today.
Danke.
See you for your next book.
Oh yeah.
Talk mit Tees.
Das war unsere Folge mit Graham Norton. Und hier kommt noch ein Tipp. Ich könnte mir vorstellen, dass auch dieser Podcast euch gefallen könnte.
Wie wir ticken.
Wie wir ticken.
Wie wir ticken. Euer Psychologie-Podcast. Was ist das Gute an Geheimnissen? Und was das Schlechte? Wie entschuldigen wir uns richtig? Woher kommt unsere Sehnsucht nach Herkunft? Und wie wirkt die Natur auf unsere Psyche? Solche und viele andere Fragen beantwortet der Psychologie-Podcast der beiden Podcast-Champions Radio Wissen und Das Wissen. Lebensnah und wissenschaftlich fundiert nimmt euch unser Podcast Wie wir ticken mit in die Welt der Psychologie. Wir fragen nach den Ursachen von Gefühlen, Gedanken und Verhaltensweisen. Wir reden über Sehnsüchte und Süchte. Wir klären auf über psychische Erkrankungen, gehen zurück in die Kindheit und blicken ins Hier und Jetzt. Und wir sagen, wie man sich und andere besser verstehen kann. Wie wir ticken, euer Psychologie-Podcast. Von Radiowissen und Das Wissen von SWR und BR. Alle neuen Folgen findet ihr mittwochs in der ARD-Audiothek und ab Freitag überall, wo ihr sonst eure Podcasts hört.